Your turn.
Thank you, sir.
Passing of the torch.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, where Bob was too, it's basically what it's talking about. When he was talking about that part, Bob, where he says, you're reading it, where he says, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Yep. See, today the Jews are the church people. Okay? What are they looking for all the time? Some sign. Why? Because they're looking for God to justify them. Which is what? Wickedness. Pride. And the Greeks are all the people who are alienated from the church, who are out there, you know, studying at the universities and everything like that, and studying all these things to gain wisdom and everything, and they think they're so smart. And they don't realize they're D-U-M-B stupid, have completely missed everything. In fact, the wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. And I share that with you because when he ends there in 1 Corinthians, and I just go back down to where he does, and he says, I'll just start it from 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And the point I wanted to get to there, because it segues into Romans 8, where I wanted to go this morning, is see, we are none of those things. See, we are not wisdom. We are not righteousness. We are not sanctification. We are not redemption. But Jesus is all those things to us. See, he is all those things. And when we recognize it, then where is the glory unto us? Rather, all the glory is unto him. All the thanksgiving, all the praise, everything is back unto him because of what he has done. But that requires humility, which is the opposite of pride or wickedness. And that's the part we have to embrace. In that, we can embrace what Charlie was talking about correction. We can embrace it. In fact, we can covet after it. You can actually desire above all other things correction. Why? Because you know you are off course, but by his guidance. There's no way for you to be on course but by him. And so you actually want that guidance. You want that direction. You want these things because you know without it, you're lost. It's, again, humility. Now, one of the points I think people have often missed in this, and that's why I wanted to turn to Romans 7 and 8 here for a moment. I'm going to start with verse 14 of chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, I'm going to continue in Romans 8 in a moment, but the point I wanted to get, one of the things I see that I think holds people up, when I look out amongst our congregation, I see many people who are stuck in this place of, that which I would, I do not, that which I would not, that I do, and all of this stuff. And the reason is that you're still stuck in that is you've missed the part that Paul gets to back at verse 25. You missed the part. You cannot change your flesh. It is never going to happen. It is always 100% pure, unadulterated, going to be contrary to God till the day you die, in which case you get free of it. Hallelujah. Actually, the day of death becomes something to look forward to from that perspective. Praise God. And the problem that you run into is that, you see it, and somebody points it out to you, and then you're upset about it, and then you lose hope about it because I can't seem to do it. And that's because you're trying to change your flesh, which is the same thing as trying to do it in the flesh. And you don't realize it. That's what you're doing. You keep going back, trying to change the flesh, trying to make it something other than what it is. And as a consequence of that, you end up never being able to serve God. Don't worry about your flesh. That's why we are to reckon ourselves dead unto it. See, the fact that our flesh is what it is, the way in which when he said over here, he said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. See, the purpose of the law is to show you that you need a Savior. It is to show you that your flesh is under the curse and cannot please God ever. That's what it's there to show you. It's not there for you to change your flesh to try to conform to it. Stop trying to do that. That will never work, and it'll just bring more and more condemnation, and it'll bring that kind of headache of, I'm wrong again. What am I ever going to do? All right? That is wounded pride. That's all that is wounded pride. Well, stop trying to bind up pride and die unto it. Die unto that cursed flesh. Don't worry about it. How do you do it? This is what Paul says in 24 and 25. Oh, wretched man that I am. All right, so now you've realized it. All right, that you are wretched. Okay. I know it's a news flash to you, but it isn't to him. He's known it from the beginning. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's referring to this body of sin, which is your flesh. I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, that's with your soul, I myself serve the law of God. That does not mean that you serve the law of Moses, and therefore as you walk it out, you no longer ever sin. The idea, and see, this is where people get off in their minds, is they see that sin show up again, and they go back under condemnation. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about the fact that if you serve the law of God with your mind, you shall not sin in the flesh. He's not saying that. The law of God that he's talking about here is the law of faith in Christ Jesus and that which he has done and is for you. He becomes then your sanctification. He becomes then your redemption. He becomes then your wisdom. He becomes then your love. He becomes then everything to you. You follow? And you don't have to become anything yourself. You don't have to become any of those things yourself. In fact, the beauty of it and what gives other sinners hope that are looking for a way out is that you're no different than them except for Christ Jesus. Except for Christ Jesus. And when you can get a handle on that, that the only thing that differs between you and anybody else out here in this world is Christ Jesus, then where's the offense at your sin? Where is the offense about it? There is no more offense. Why? Because you're accepted in Christ Jesus as you are. And you get to partake of Him and what He is doing. Your flesh will still be completely the exact same way it has ever been. It will not change at all in this. And that's the struggle I see people struggling with, is they're constantly trying to change their flesh and how it is. Don't worry about your flesh. Die under that. This is that part of crucifying the flesh. It's a painful thing to crucify something. When you don't give it the rule in your life and you choose rather to believe the promise of God through Christ Jesus, now you can enter into the next part. He says, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, that's your soul, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It is what it is, and it's nothing you're going to do is ever going to change it. And that's the way in which it is. So let it be. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. See, that part of being in Christ Jesus is you trust in the operation of God. Let me share with you that operation of God that gives you this power. I think every single person in this room with me, and probably most of you who are listening, if not all, have been baptized in water, haven't you? Is there anybody who hasn't been baptized in water, where you've been dunked, where you die unto yourself and you're buried with Him in the likeness of His death, that you may be raised in the likeness of His resurrection? Isn't that something each and every one of us have had done? Where we are translated by the power of God out of this present darkness, which is that flesh, and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Trust in that. Trust in that. Fight for that. Don't give place to anything that is contrary to that in your life. You are every single day going to be berated with things that are contrary to that promise. Every single day. You're going to. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to believe the lies of the enemy that are coming and telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not this enough, that you're not that enough? Or are you going to believe the promise of God? Are you going to believe what you see in these natural eyes, which have no hope? There's no hope in these natural eyes. And what you see with these natural eyes. Or are you going to believe in the promise of God? Because if you will believe in the promise of God, then you will. There will be no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You've got to fight to stand in that promise. And if you do, there will be no condemnation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit are plenty big enough for every issue you've got. Every single one of them. And you can stand in that. And then it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those that walk after the flesh, what are you doing? You're believing all the load of crap. You're believing it. That's what it is to walk after the flesh. You believe the flesh and the testimony of the flesh and what you see over the testimony of the promise of God in His Word. And what happens is you end up in bondage and dwelling in death. Look at the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is the gospel, hath made me free from the law of sin and death, which is in your flesh. It hath made you free. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, in other words, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how much effort I gave, I always came up short. Every single time. That's what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That is the testimony of the law and the weakness of the flesh, is that I don't care who you are. I mean, I am probably about as strong-willed and disciplined of an individual as most of you have run into. And I can tell you that no matter how hard I try, I can give, I mean, effort that will kill me. If you know me, you know that's the way in which I am. Somebody said to me one time, Steve, anything that's worth doing, it's basically the creed he said I live by, anything that's worth doing is worth overdoing. I mean, when I was young and I played sports, I suffered injuries. You know why I suffered injuries? Because I would not let any limitation I have determine what I was going to do. So I tried to pass every physical limitation I had to the point of hurting myself to do it. And I was willing to then, with that pain, get up. I mean, as a child, when I was 17, and if they called me off the bench in basketball, I could barely stand because of the pain in my knees and the different things from tendonitis, Oscar Schlatterus, and every other thing. Could barely stand, but I'll tell you what, I would stand and it would not stop me. I would run with my leg turned sideways from things and run as fast as the others because I wouldn't let the explosions in my leg stop me. That was the kind of will I had as a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old. I mean, excruciating pain. People don't have any idea. I mean, really, literally, it felt like explosions going off. And when I finished, I'd say to Mom, when she'd pick me up, I think you need to take me to the hospital. And that was my way from 9 all the way up through. There was nothing that was going to stop me. I didn't care what it was. And I can tell you what. You can have the will I have, and that will not get you to heaven. It won't even get you a like one of those, you pulled one of those tear sheets for wait for your number to be called. It won't get you anywhere but hell. So look, I can tell you that the idea that you're ever going to be able to change the nature of your flesh in any way is foolishness and utter stupidity, and it will destroy you and take you to hell if you will keep trying to do it. Give up. Give up. Give up. Just give up that notion completely. Lay it completely down. And instead, take up the promise of God, which is, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. See, the righteousness of God that is, what does it say there? That is fulfilled, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law is not that you keep the law. It's that you receive the Savior. That's the righteousness of the law, not the other way around. So that notion, which is those dead works we are to die to, which it talks about in Hebrews, cast it down, hate it, get shed of it, don't give it any place, be done with it forever. That's what you got to do. You got to put it down. And then the righteousness of the law, which is what pointed us to our need for a Savior, Jesus, is there. And then we can turn to verses 6 and 7 and 8. For to be carnally minded is death. See, that's the one looking back at themselves. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, it's that new life that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's that peace between you and God where you are no longer fighting with him. See, when you're trying to do it after the flesh, you're fighting with God. You don't even realize it. You think you're trying to serve him. You think you're trying to please him. You think you're trying to do all this stuff. You think you're really giving it your best. And the fact of the matter is you're fighting with him. You're actually doing the exact opposite of what the gospel teaches. So you stop and you go, all right, Lord, sorry about that. I apologize. I didn't realize that's what I was doing. And you get down on your knees and you say, all right, Lord, thank you for sending your son. Let your son be to me righteousness. Let your son be to me redemption. Let your son be to me love. Let your son be to me power. Let your son be to me everything. And let me be nothing at all. And you do that, and now all of a sudden, everything changes. And you start being able to do that which the Lord has called you to do. Because now you're doing it His way, rather than trying to do it your way. Amen?